Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Armed American Radio, brought to you every Sunday night by the USCCA. That's the United States Concealed Carry Association. I'm your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, the best gun rag, arguably the best gun rag, in the United States, in the official publication of the USCCA. If you are not a member of the USCCA, do so. Join us at www.usconcealedcarry.com. Real quick, for my kids, Lindsay and Ryan, make sure you take Pumpkin out before you go to bed tonight. I love you guys, and I'll be home soon, okay? Pumpkin, everybody, is my dog. Don't ask any more questions about that. I'd like to thank our listeners all over the United States tonight. Thank you very much for that, Gene. The kids will love it. I'd like to thank our listeners all over the United States tonight, and we have got emails pouring into us from all over the United States. Before we get to that, I should mention that we are broadcasting live on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. The Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA studios in Buckhead section. I guess we can say downtown Atlanta, right? That's downtown Atlanta. It's kind of the Buckhead section of Atlanta, Georgia. Our producer and board operator tonight is Mr. Eugene Bright behind the scenes back there. And the phone numbers, should you wish to reach out to us, 888-920-2665. Almost forgot them there, Gene. 888-920-2665 and 770-226-0920. Again, that's 770-226-0920. Folks, if you're interested, we get a lot of complaints. We've only got an hour. People don't want to interrupt the program and call. Do so. You're not interrupting it. The program is for you. Also, we'll try something a little bit new tonight. Feel free to reach out to us by email this evening. You can reach out to us at mark@armedamericanradio.org. mark@armedamericanradio.org. Send an email. We'll answer it on the air if we can get around to it. Keep it on topic, if you will. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank our listeners from all over the United States, and I do mean all over the United States. We're getting emails like crazy here, and I'm going to take a couple minutes to read just a few of those that are coming in. One in particular, we'll go ahead and mention, this is really a news story here, but I want to put this out here, Ohioans for Concealed Carry, good friends of ours at GCO. This came in from Seth in Ohio. Just as an FYI, in case you wanted to mention on the radio, Ohio restaurant carry bill assigned to committee, House Bill 203, drafted by OFCC and sponsored by Danny Bupp and Jared Martin, has been assigned to the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee. As you know, this important fix would add restaurants to the current exemption that covers Class D retail stores, provided the licensee is not consuming alcohol. The bill was co-sponsored by 16 legislators, including Representative Adams, Amsterts, Blair, Combs, Hall, Huffman, Jones, Jordan, Magg, McGregor, Sears, Snitchler, Euchre, Watchman, or Wachtman, Wagner, and Zeringer. This would be similar to the law that just passed in Tennessee. It is also very similar to what we have in Georgia with HB 89. So congratulations, everybody up in Ohio. Hopefully that thing will pass. We got a call or another email from a Robert Hall, and this one was fantastic here. It says, we really enjoy you on Armed American Radio. We knew you could write well, but you also sound great, so I had to throw that plug in. Question for you. What was the ammo that Marco Ricaldone was using when he defended himself against the ex-boyfriend? I know you didn't want to jump into the caliber wars, but the type of ammo, bullet design, is very important, especially for minors like 9mm. Thanks, Robert Hall. Who's Kerry? We're gonna go ahead and answer that question real quick. We won't mention that. But that was a Federal Hydroshock, 147 grain. Robert, 147 grain. It really makes you think about what you have in your weapon, doesn't it? So keep that one in mind. The second one comes into us from a gentleman named Mark in Houston, Texas. I usually listen to Gun Talk radio show. Everybody, in case you're not familiar, is Tom Gresham's program. He's been doing it, and he's syndicated all over the United States. He says, I usually listen to Gun Talk radio show. I discovered your program from USCCA and find your program more interesting and more informative. I will join the USCCA now. I think it will benefit me more than my NRA membership. God bless you, my friend. That's Mark in Houston, Texas. Mark, thanks very much for the comments. We appreciate that. And we've got a really good one here, a strong one here, that came in from a gentleman named David up in the Twin Cities, about bringing Armed American Radio to Minnesota. And he forwarded me an attachment and an email that he had sent to the station manager up there, an affiliate in St. Paul, Minnesota, begging them to bring the program to the Twin Cities. I can assure everybody out there that we are pushing that right now. Great things are about to happen, so stay tuned with us. You don't want to miss what's going on with Armed American Radio. We're at the very beginning of where we're going to be. Some quick news here. We've got a studio full of folks in here. We want to get to it as quick as possible. But there's a couple issues here that popped up that I saw this week. A couple of them I want to mention to you. Justifiable homicides by police. Saw this out there today. In 2007, about two-thirds, 67.2% of the U.S. population lived in 40 states with shall-issue concealed carry laws where law-abiding citizens can obtain a license to carry a concealed handgun. These laws are also known as right to carry. Of course, over half, 55.8% of all justifiable homicides by police occurred in these states. States without right to carry laws, 10 states plus the District of Columbia, contained about one-third, 32.8% of the population, and 44.2% of all police justifiable homicides, with an average of 35 police justifiable homicides occurring in each non-right-to-carry state, while right-to-carry states averaged seven. This means that police justifiable homicides occurred about five times more often in non-right-to-carry states. So we can put two and two together and make five out of that and think anything we want to think. Our guests tonight are in the studio. We've got a gentleman here from New Jersey and Pennsylvania. We'll call him Average Joe because of his extensive business interests. And he owns residences in PA and New Jersey. He is one of the folks. He is no fan of Obama, like me. Read that any way you want. I'm not a fan of Obama. We'll just come out and tell you that. I think you know that already. Average Joe has residences in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, and he faces some incredible dilemmas when he's traveling from state to state. I welcome Average Joe, to the program tonight. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it. Welcome to Armed American Radio. Joe, you're one of the folks that we read about or have read about or continue to read about who were not gun owner prior to the election of Barack Obama. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Tell me about now.
I think, Mark, that what was kind of interesting to me is seeing the changes that I have seen taking place in the United States over the past, certainly the past 4 years, but more importantly in the last six months, the changes we've seen have been almost overwhelming to the point where people are afraid, they're scared, something seems like it's going on, and I've decided that what I need to do is make sure that I am properly protected in the event things start to get a little crazy out there. So I felt.
Why didn't you feel that way prior to the election of Obama? What changed your mindset there?
I think that the mindset that changed in me was recognizing that something seemed to be amiss. The whole election process seemed to be very different than what we'd ever seen before. It was like we were unable to really trust people any longer. And when trust starts going out the door, you have to start looking to yourself.
When you saw that it was apparent that Barack Obama was going to win the election, the Pied Piper of D.C., I got to throw a dig in, I can't help it, the teleprompter in chief, the Pied Piper of D.C., when you saw that it was apparent that he was going to win the election, at what turning point was that? Did you just decide at one point, okay, I've got to buy a gun, this guy wants to take away my gun rights, and you knew that?
I knew that the gun rights were going to be under stress, that they were trying to eliminate or even ban guns across the board. And I felt that if that was something that was going to be taken away from me down the road, that I wanted to make sure I at least had an opportunity to control or to have a weapon in the event I needed it sometime in the future.
Well, congratulations. Welcome to the crew. We appreciate that. You probably realize by now you didn't have to wait for Barack Obama to be elected to enjoy firing a handgun. Real quick, training. A lot of new gun owners out there right now by the millions. Guns are flying off the shelves like crazy. Have you gotten yourself any training at this point since you bought your first weapon?
I feel very important about having to be properly trained in the use of weapons, so I've actually been taking classes, one-on-one instruction to make sure that I know how to use the weapon, to make sure that in the event I have to use it, that I know how to.
Are you comfortable now?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about, you're in a very strange situation. I used to live up in Pennsylvania years ago. In fact, I bought my first gun when I was out of college up in Pennsylvania. And I've told the listeners before, it was a little 25 caliber Raven semi-automatic, a mouse gun, if you will. We've long since gotten rid of that. I didn't really worry about at that time about the concealed carry laws in PA. I felt that I had a Second Amendment right to defend myself. That gun went with me. It rode in my pocket everywhere I went. And quite honestly, I carried it to New Jersey as well. I worked in some very bad areas in Camden, New Jersey. I'm sure you're familiar with Camden.
Familiar.
Very bad area at the time. And we're talking about the mid-80s. Now, tell me about your residences. You live, because I think you fall into a situation where many hundreds of thousands of people do who live in Pennsylvania, drive to New Jersey for work, and vice versa. I know I used to cross that Betsy Ross Bridge all the time.
Correct.
What happens? Tell us about your residences right now.
Well, I think what happens is when you're legal in Pennsylvania to carry and you've got to cross into another state because that's where you work, you've got to be very concerned about carrying a weapon that could end up getting you in jail if you were to be pulled over for some kind of a minor traffic violation or whatever.
So PA, of course, a very gun-friendly state. I happen to have in front of me, and I actually can't pull it up on this computer here, but I've got New Jersey's gun laws, okay? And, you know, they ought to just title it the PRNJ. It's the People's Republic of New Jersey. You live in a free state. You have business interests in the enemy camp. Let's face facts, okay? And we were talking earlier in the studio. It's amazing to me. It's almost fascinating how if you were standing out in a field that the state line passed through, legally carrying your weapon in Pennsylvania, you cross that state line, and you're an instant felon.
And can go to jail, correct.
And will go to jail.
Absolutely correct.
In fact, there are signs on the Garden State Parkway and the New Jersey Turnpike, if I'm not mistaken, that say an illegal gun in New Jersey results in, what, 1 year mandatory prison sentence?
Yes,
okay,
correct.
That's mind-boggling to me. How are you handling that right now?
Well, I think that it all comes down to fear. And let's face it, the authorities really don't want people to own guns. They're trying to ban guns. If they can create the sense of fear in people to the point where they leave their guns at home or, better yet, don't purchase a weapon, then they actually win. So what I do is keep my guns locked up in a gun safe. I don't carry it because I am between states so often that I can't run the risk of being caught with it.
Now, in New Jersey, their laws, of course, are very, very strict, and a lot of people may not realize that that we have a call up here. We've got John in Dallas. John in Dallas has a question. John, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend. You're on the air with us.
Hey, actually, I just had a question. It's kind of off topic, maybe, but I was reading just recently on Wikipedia about concealed carry, and apparently the article on the Wikipedia says that you shouldn't use reloads in for your concealed carry weapon just because I guess it's more prosecutable in court if it ever went to court. I was just trying to find out if that was really true.
John, that's a great question, and that comes up a lot on the gun boards. I'm sure you've probably seen that question before.
Actually, I've never seen that. I just read it on Wikipedia.
Okay, it pops up from time to time on the USCCA gun boards and a couple of the other big boards out there.
Okay.
I'm not being an attorney, I don't know how to answer that question. However, it's my belief that you can carry anything legal in your gun.
Okay,
whether it was a reload or not. Now, you know, a lot of people say, hey, as long as it doesn't void the warranty in the gun. However, we do have an attorney in studio with us, and we'll bring him in after the break and answer that. And I'll tell you what, we'll go one step further with that. Masad Ayoub will be joining us next week, and we'll have him answer that. If you'll leave an email address with our board operator, Gene, then we'll go ahead and get you an answer to that, okay?
Well, I guess I had another point. I guess it's kind of related to that pharmacist that was in Oklahoma.
John, I hate to do this to you, my friend. We're getting ready to cut to a break.
Sure.
Stick around, and we'll be right back, everybody, on Armed American Radio.
Outlandish claims are everywhere. Settle your debt for pennies on the dollar. Trinity wants you to know the whole truth about debt settlement plans. Fact, most debt settlement clients pay thousands in upfront fees only to end up in bankruptcy with their credit scores ruined. It's true. With debt settlement, your creditors can sue you, forcing you to sell your assets and surrender your paycheck to wage garnishment. If you have a sincere desire to meet your obligations, remember this. Trinity has been a loyal member of the Christian radio family for more than 20 years. 20 years. Let us show you how to work within your budget, pay off your debt, save thousands, improve your credit rating, and preserve your good name. Call 1-800-793-9159. That's 1-800-793-9159. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-793-9159.
There's nothing generic about your body, about the way it moves, the way it heals, the way it aches. Your pain isn't generic. Your pain reliever shouldn't be either. Tylenol works in ways that have been trusted and proven for over 50 years. With patented technology and clinical trials, no store brand can match. Because a body as unique as yours deserves more than a generic pain reliever. Feel better. Tylenol. Use only as directed.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgie Carey needs you. Visit georgiecarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA in the city of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiecarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
Atlanta Talk that swings harder. 920 AM WGKA.
Running around the family with a pocket full of shells. They running around the family with a pocket full of shells.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Join us at www.usconcealedcarry.com. Get involved. It's never been more important than it is today. We just got an email in. This is interesting. From Paul. This is my first night listening to Armed American Radio. I am looking forward to it. Paul Irwin is in Cherry Valley, Ontario, Canada. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. We're everywhere. It's not too far away, but it's... I can say everywhere now, right? Troops listening in Iraq and Afghanistan, God bless all of you. We know you're listening out there. Okay, back with Average Joe here real quick. I want to mention here a column, and I showed it to him. We looked at it. He was unaware of it. But this is the kind of stuff we're talking about in some of these. And, you know, Pennsylvania's a gun-friendly state, Joe.
Yes,
by all accounts, it's a gun-friendly state. But I'll read you just a little bit of this and paraphrase. Gun owners living in Lancaster City now have 72 hours to tell police if they discover their firearms have been stolen or they could be sent to prison. And what this, the way this is paraphrases out is the city council has taken it upon themselves to crack down on illegal guns. We hear this all the time. Not illegal people, not criminals who commit crimes, but cracking down on law-abiding people who have had a crime committed against them can turn them into a felon. It's pathetic. It's ridiculous. It turns your stomach. You live in PA. Now, this is Lancaster City or Lancaster County. I don't know whereabouts right. You're at. That's outside the Harrisburg area. But fortunately, Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken, has preemption laws.
Right.
Okay. But obviously, they don't care.
They really don't care. And it seems to me that, again, it's all driven by fear. They're trying to get people not to own guns, to turn them in, and get out of the gun business. It seems to me that still the Constitution should have rights. We have the right to bear arms under the Constitution. It seems like the states are trying to take it away. To me, it all seems like it's a smokescreen. And I don't understand why it's happening, because we ought to have the right to bear arms, the right to free speech.
Well, you bring up a great point, and we're going to touch a little bit on that with our next guest, who I'd like to bring in here right now. Noted attorney and board member of GCO, and Mr. Bill Akins. Folks, I actually read Bill Akins' story in the St. Pete Times or the Tampa Tribune a couple years ago, and it angered me to the point where I got a hold of Mr. Akins, and we had a long conversation. I wound up writing a story about his plight with the ATF. And Bill Akins joins us on the phone. He's with us right now. And noted Second Amendment attorney and GCO board member, John, is with us. John Monroe is with us right now here in the studio. Welcome, everybody, to Armed American Radio. John, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Bill, are you on with us?
I'm on with you,
Thank you for having me, Mark.
Okay, well, it is a pleasure, my friend. We've spoken a number of times over the last year, and your story appeared in my column, I guess, sometime last year, if I'm not mistaken. Time flies. And, you know, your plight is an amazing one and an angering one to law-abiding citizens. Bill, what I'd like to do is get you to start from the beginning and tell everybody about the device that you invented and what happened at that point. You invented a device, ingenious, and tell us about it.
Well, it was a rifle stock, an aftermarket rifle stock, Mark, that you would place your rifle action into, such as the Ruger 10/22 rifle, for instance. And I invented it in 1996. I got the idea from watching other firearms recoiling, and I thought that if I could utilize the recoil principles of a firearm in a stationary stock, so that the stock stays stationary up in your shoulder, but the firearm's barrel, receiver, trigger group, magazine action recoiled within the stationary stock a short distance to enough to move it, the trigger away from your finger, it would then compress a spring under recoil that would cause the action to go back forward again and to recontact the trigger with your finger again, firing it in a very rapid mode, simulating full automatic fire, but still functioning the trigger once for each and every shot. So I built a couple of prototypes for an SKS rifle and for a MAC-90 rifle, which is a semi-automatic version of an AK, and I tried them out, and they worked. I got a patent on it in 2000 at quite considerable cost, and then a gentleman contacted me and wanted to know if I would like to go into business with him producing these. So I had sent a letter off to the ATF, their branch, that their technical firearms branch, to get a classification on this to make sure that it was a semi-auto firearm and not a full automatic firearm.
Bill, one second. I want to interrupt you real quick. We have a very quiet line, and I'm wondering if you can speak up just a little bit or...
Sure.
That's much better. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I want to make sure that everybody gets it because we are going to be downloaded on a podcast as well, and we'll get hundreds of thousands of listeners picking us up on the internet, okay? All right, continue. So you went ahead, and I'll let you go from there.
Okay. Before I contacted ATF, though, I had contacted noted firearms attorney Jim Jeffries III, who was a very noted and leading firearms attorney in the country at that time. And he wrote me a memorandum of advice stipulating that this was not an illegal rifle stock, and it wouldn't be illegal with a firearm placed into it. It would fall under the same category as the Gatling gun or any other rapid-fire trigger device, such as the Hellfire, the Hellstorm, the TAC trigger, the AccuTrigger, and that it was not illegal in any way, shape, or form. So at least under federal law and under most state laws.
Now, how much time had gone by from the time you invented the device and you were getting this information back from the ATF?
I invented the device in 96. I patented it in 2000. And I contacted the ATF, I believe it was in 2003. Don't hold me to that. I'm not exactly sure. But I contacted them, and they didn't get back with me for 15 months. They ignored me. I contacted them numerous times, and they just completely ignored me. And when they finally did get back with me, they said they would need a physical example to evaluate.
Now, during that time, what did you do? Just sit tight and wait? What were you doing at that point?
Right. I was just sitting tight and waiting for 15 months for the ATF to get back with me, and they just ignored me. So finally, my partner and I, by that time, had decided to produce these if we could get ATF approval. We didn't feel that we absolutely needed to have it because, according to federal law, it fired once for each function of the trigger. So we didn't really think we needed ATF approval, but we wanted ATF approval for customers, peace of mind. So finally, my partner then contacted ATF himself, and they also told him he would need a physical example. So we had a physical example made for an SKS rifle, and he sent that into the ATF. Now, it's important to remember, Mark, that it doesn't matter if it was for an SKS rifle, a Ruger 10/22 rifle, or an M1 Garand. The principle was all the same, recoiling action within a stationary stock, basically bump firing within a stationary stock.
Okay, now, we've got just about a minute before we go to break, so what I want to do is bring you to this point here. You you have now, you're at the point where you've got to send in a physical sample to the ATF, correct?
Correct.
And you do that?
Yes.
Now, how long did they hold the weapon and before they got back to you with their review of what it was you sent them?
I don't remember exactly how long it was, but that was done within a normal length of time. So I have no complaint about that. And they sent us back a classification letter saying that although the screws dislodged when they tried to operate it, that it was not a machine gun. And we wanted a better clarification of that, so my partner called and spoke with a Richard Craze in the FTB division, and he also wrote him a letter as well and spoke to him personally. And Mr. Craze did send us back another classification letter saying that they fully understood its principle and method of operation, and based upon its principle and method of operation, even though they couldn't get it to work correctly, it was not a machine gun.
Okay, great. Hold off. We're getting some music in there. We're going to bring John Monroe back here with some information and get his take on things as well. Stick around with us, Bill. Stick around with us, America. We'll be right back on Armed American Radio. Thanks, everybody.
This is meteorologist Heather Bruckman from the WGK Weather Center. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a thunderstorm in spots, mainly early. It will be muggy with a low down to 71. Then Monday will be another warm day with an afternoon thunderstorm around. Otherwise, times of clouds and sunshine, the high 87. Be partly cloudy and muggy again Monday night with another thunderstorm, the low 71. Partly sunny for Tuesday, the high again 87. And then for Wednesday, clouds and limited sunshine, the high 86. I'm meteorologist Heather Bruckman from the WGK Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
Now, take us with you on the road.
The internet is full of neat stuff.
Listen live on your iPhone, BlackBerry, or mobile device and enjoy crystal clear reception on the go.
We'll call in, we'll chat, and have some fun.
Plus, you can listen while traveling.
This is not just an ordinary radio now. It has an attachment.
Which means you'll never miss your favorite programs like Bennett, Gallagher, Medved, Prager, and Hewitt. Get more information and the free application right now by logging on to 920WGKA.com.
Men and women, if you've got 10 to 30 pounds or more to lose, please listen carefully. Guys, many of us tend to overeat. We eat too much red meat, fast foods, and processed foods. This keeps the belly flabby and keeps our bodies overweight. Ladies, have you ever said, "I feel fat today," or do you have this bloated feeling? And how many of you have been trying to lose the same 10 to 20 pounds for years? There's a healthy and faster way to lose weight than any diet pill. It's called EverCleanse, a clinically proven weight loss and detox formula that helps you lose weight and get rid of the 5 to 25 pounds of waste that some experts say is trapped to the colon walls like spackle or paste. 2 weeks of EverCleanse may be equal to months of dieting. It's simple, too. Natural, tasteless crystals that dissolve in any food or beverage. EverCleanse will flatten out your midsection, reduce love handles, and bellies and bloating have been disappearing in just days. You see, EverCleanse gets rid of the weight you can't take off by exercising or starving yourself on a diet. And it's not something you have to take for the rest of your life. Visit us at EverCleanse.com or call now to receive a very special offer.
Call 1-800-581-9054. That's 800-581-9054. Call now, 1-800-581-9054.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
The voice of Atlanta traffic, Chris Monroe, gets you to work on time with on-time traffic only on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio, America and Canada and Iraq and Afghanistan. Feel free to join us on the program tonight, 770-226-0920, 888-920-2665. Again, those numbers, local, 770-226-0920, 888-920-2665. It won't be long, folks. You're going to be needing a toll-free number, I can assure you. We're getting some emails in here. I want to read this one. Just came in from Michael Haas. Michael is in New Mexico, and he says, "I have downloaded all the past shows and listened to them several times each. But tonight is the first night I have been able to listen live on the internet. You have a great show, and I just wanted to thank you for all you do. Well, you're very welcome, Michael, and thank you very much for listening out there in the beautiful state of New Mexico. Okay, we're going to step back in here with Bill Akins and Mr. John Monroe, and before we get John in here real quick, I want Bill to continue to explain, because we're kind of at the meat of what happened with your entire run-in and where you are right now with the ATF. So, Bill, continue on with your story there as to what happened then. You've sent them this, they've approved your device in writing, and what happens?
Okay, yes, Mark, thank you. They approved it twice in writing. The first time, like I said, they said that the screws, actually, the first time they said the screws fractured and came loose from the frame, the finger stop screws. And then when they wrote us the second letter, they didn't say the screws fractured and came loose from the frame. They said the screws dislodged. Well, what was interesting was when they sent that SKS prototype stock back to us, the screws were not stripped. The thread holes that they went into were not stripped. The screws were neatly taped to the side of the stock with a piece of Scotch tape as if somebody had unscrewed them and taped them to the stock. So how they came loose, we don't know. You know, take that for whatever you will. It looked like somebody had just unscrewed it on purpose so that it wouldn't work properly.
Okay, but the bottom line here is that they approved your device...
Twice.
Twice, in writing.
In writing, exactly.
In writing, too. Over a course of how much time?
Just a course of just, I don't know, a couple of months, something like that. I can't remember exactly. From the time that when we got the first approval classification, we saw that it was a little ambiguous, and we wanted to know, well, are you approving it because it broke and wouldn't work correctly, or are you approving it because you understand the principle of operation? So we wanted clarification of that.
And you got it.
And we got it, absolutely.
Okay. After you got it, what happened? This is where we start taking off here. You got clarification, and you went all out with your business, did you not?
Absolutely. We went all out. We went into research and development. We spent thousands of dollars. Just the molds were $70,000 for these things. We made a small production run of 148 of these stocks, and we sold it to people that were close friends and people that we knew in the firearms field. They were more or less our beta testing group. And to make sure, before we came live with it, with a website and everything, we wanted to make sure there were no bugs and that everything was working great. Everything was. Everything worked great. And so for about a year and a half, we were in research and development, building these things. I had to actually take a loan out on my property to pay for some of this. And so we sold 148 of them that were wooden stock ones in the beginning. But then we decided after that to go with injection molded plastic stocks.
Okay, and the bottom line here is that you began a full force effort, went into production because of the ruling from the ATF. I want to get noted attorney John Monroe in here, your attorney, who is seated over to my right here, and it's a pleasure to have you on Armed American Radio, John. Talk to us a little bit about what happened next. You got information from the ATF then, Bill, that they said that they were now going to unilaterally decide that your device was a machine gun, correct?
Well, from the time we've got the second letter of approval, the one that was absolutely clear that they understood the method of operation and they were approving it upon its method of operation, from that time, nothing happened for about a year and a half or so. And then as soon as we went live with it and we had a website, some people turned in letters to the ATF asking them if this was legal. And before you knew it, ATF's technical branch is saying that these guys are making machine guns. We need to shut them down, buy one, and test it. In other words, we were guilty before they even evaluated it. They had already made up their mind that we were making machine guns, even though they had said we weren't, before they even bought one and tested it.
Gotcha. John, where are we at here now? Where did you get involved with this?
It was actually a while after this had happened that that I got involved with Bill. And we've actually filed a couple of separate cases. We filed a case against the federal government at the Court of Federal Claims in Washington for damages, and we also filed a separate claim in the Federal District Court in the Middle District of Florida to overturn the ATF's classification of Bill's invention as a machine gun. Where we are right now with those is, so far we've lost both of those. The Court of Federal Claims dismissed the case for damages, saying that that because Bill had intentionally entered into a firearms industry that He's subject to whatever regulations come along and can't collect damages from the government. The district court case in Florida was dismissed, and we appealed that to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals and recently lost that as well. We now have filed a petition to the Supreme Court of the United States for certiorari, and that case has been scheduled for conference with the court at the end of the month, so probably early July we'll find out whether or not they're going to take the case.
Okay, now let's get into the crux of what's going on here, and I want to make it clear to the listeners here. I've actually seen we should tell everybody the device name is, I don't think we even said that, it is the Aikens Accelerator. An accelerator being the rate of fire, correct, Bill?
Correct.
Okay, now it's bump firing, single pull of the trigger for each individual round fired. We should make no mistake here that the gun goes rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat. The ATF doesn't like it. Is that the bottom line?
Well, actually, you have to be careful using the word pull. That's what the ATF is trying to do. The federal law under Section 922 of the National Firearms Act stipulates one shot per single function of the trigger is a semi-auto. The ATF is trying to say that function means the same as pull. Even though you can push a trigger, rotate a trigger, there's a lot of different ways to actuate a trigger, the law says function. ATF is trying to say that pull is the operative word here, and that pull means the same as function. That's a very important part of the case that that the courts seem to be overlooking.
Now, I think it's important that people around the country understand that the action taken by the ATF buried you.
Absolutely.
Financially, after giving you 2 years, I guess, right, of approvals here, at their own in their own writing, and I've seen the documents from the ATF. So, you know, I'm privy to a little bit of information there because I've seen the letters that the ATF has sent approving your device, and it's amazing to me. It angered me when I saw that they could come back and do that to a man who, you know, they make a decision and they don't, they change their minds based on the law. John, where do we get with the law in this? Where are we talking about that they feel they can do this because of what? The rate of fire regardless? I mean, don't they have to follow their own laws that's defined?
Well, they did make a big deal in the court documents that they filed about the rate of fire, but there really isn't anything in the law defining a machine gun regarding rate of fire. There are plenty of things that fire very rapidly, such as the old Western Gatling gun that you see in Western movies. Those aren't machine guns. They fire really fast, but they are not classified as machine guns under federal law. There actually are some states that do classify and restrict firearms based on rate of fire, but under the federal law, that's not the case.
So the ATF essentially is saying, we approved it, it fits the description of the law, however, upon further review, we don't like what it does, and therefore we're going to do this to this man?
Well, it's actually kind of funny. They didn't do any further review. We obtained some of their internal memos during the course of the litigation and found that, as Bill had pointed out, before they actually looked at the device, got a copy of it, and did any testing or analysis of it, their internal memos said that it was a machine gun and that they should go about making a case that would stand up in court to prove that it was a machine gun. So they decided before they looked at it was a machine gun and then went about trying to figure out why it was.
Okay, so, Bill, that would have something to do with the screw being taped to the stock, would it not?
No, actually, what it is is on the prototype, we used two screws coming down so that you could put your finger across those two screws, and that would stabilize your finger and hold your finger in a fixed, stabilized position, okay? Later on production models, we just use ridges on the pistol grip, and somehow those screws became unscrewed, dislodged. They weren't fractured because they weren't damaged, even though the ATF letter said fractured from the frame. That really had I guess, something to do with it, because the ATF is saying that if you pull the trigger once, instead of using the word function, as the federal law does, they say that if you pull the trigger one time, it then initiates a sequence of automatic fire that continues until the ammunition supply is empty or the finger is removed. Well, that just described and outlawed the process of bump firing. But the ATF is not pushing or enforcing that against other rapid-fire devices on the market, such as the Hellfire, Hellstorm, AccuTrigger, TacTrigger, they only enforced it against my corporation and destroyed all the financial interest of everyone in the corporation. We actually had to dissolve as a result of this.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. I remember when this was happening, I remember reading about it and contacting you. John, why is that? When you've got the Hellfire triggers out there and the TAC triggers, what's the difference?
Well, I don't know that there is any difference. That was one of our claims, was that the ATF's classification was arbitrary and capricious, which is a violation of the Administrative Procedures Act, which is what they have to follow when they make classifications like that. There isn't any real distinction. I don't think there's any justification for what they've done.
Yeah, that is mind-boggling. And
Mark,
Bill, yes, go ahead, sir.
Mark, another thing that's interesting is that they were supposed to give me a hearing on this, and they did not. They refused to. And they were also supposed to publish this. You'll have to ask John what this is. I forget the name of it, but there's some sort of procedure they're supposed to go through. Whenever a federal agency comes out with a ruling, they're supposed to go through a procedure that asks for public inquiry, public comments. You'll have to ask John what that is. They also did not do that.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We've got, about 30 seconds here, maybe? Okay, we'll leave that thought right there into a break. And when we get back from the break, I want to read something that I found today, coincidentally, Bill, on the USCCA forum, actually last week, and I've been following the thread relative to the ATF, and I want to get John's take on this. It'll anger you without a doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to join us on the air, 770-226-0920 or 888-920-2665. Thanks for listening to Armed American Radio, and we'll be right back after the break, folks.
From sea to shining sea, for the best political coverage on your radio, 920 AM WGKA.
This is David Eichmann for townhall.com. While President Obama was receiving major media coverage for his recent trip to the Middle East, there was another very significant news item in Lebanon with ramifications for Israel and the broader Middle East. In elections to Lebanon's parliament, a pro-Western political alliance decisively defeated Hezbollah, a political movement that is virtually a puppet for Tehran's hate-filled international policies. 2 years ago, Hezbollah's hostility to Israel dragged Lebanon into a costly war with a Jewish state, and since then, Hezbollah's thugs have been a major threat to Lebanon's internal security. But at a time when most of the Arab world is alarmed at Iran's nuclear program and its international belligerence, the pro-Western victory in Lebanon is a sign of real progress.
I'm Hugh Hewitt. The radio industry is at risk. Help me by voicing your opposition to an enormous new radio tax. Go to TalkPack.com today. That's TalkPack.com.
Does tax debt leave you consumed with worry? Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? If you're tired of feeling stressed over your tax problems, turn to Tax Debt Bailout now for a free review of your situation. Call 1-800-523-9771. If you're facing back taxes, wage garnishment, a tax lien, bank levy, audit, or property seizure, let our tax relief specialists deal with the IRS so you don't have to. Tax Debt Bailout saves taxpayers like you precious time and millions of dollars every year. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, know your rights and take action. For peace of mind and your free review, call the Tax Debt Bailout now at 1-800-523-9771. That's 1-800-523-9771. Don't wait another minute. Call 1-800-523-9771.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit GeorgiaCarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting GeorgiaCarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
The most original voice on talk radio, Dennis Prager, is America's moral compass. Every day, noon to 3, only on Intelligent Talk, 920 WGKA.
All right, I'm going to turn over to the USCCA forum here real quick, and I've seen similar questions posed on forums, any reputable gun forum all over the place. But this one was interesting because it has to do with the ATF. And, John, I'm going to read a couple of these here, and then I want to get your opinion on this before we bring Bill back. I don't think it's any secret about how Bill feels about the ATF. Hey, Bill, I was just telling him in here during the break that alcohol, tobacco, and firearms sounds like a retail store or a really good party. Who's bringing the chips?
Right.
So all the anti-gunners, I'm kidding. It's a joke. Relax. The ATF. All right. This thread says, help. What to do if ATF calls you? If a person claiming to be an ATF agent calls you and wants to meet with you, what should you do? Do you have to tell them anything? If you know you've done absolutely nothing wrong, do you have to let them see or give them a list of the guns you possess? Now, there's a follow-up to this or some answers on there. And, you know, most of these folks are giving their personal opinions. And I want to get John's opinion here. But here's an interesting one down at the bottom of the second page that says, need advice ASAP. I received a call today from an ATF agent stating they audited a local gun shop in San Antonio, Texas, and found I had purchased several guns on their watch list, whatever that is. I was told they are coming to my home on 15 June to inspect my firearms and that the inspection is not optional. I'm a single female who lives in a rural area and has no family nearby. I'm extremely leery of allowing anyone in my home, but especially the ATF. Do I have to let them inventory all my firearms and ammo, extensive collection of both, or just the guns I purchased at that particular store? Does anyone know something who can offer me some legal advice on this pending ATF invasion of my home? John, what's up with that? Something like that?
That's a new one on me. I haven't heard about a non-optional home inspection by the ATF. To me, this is an example of bad government. We have an agency that is both an administrative agency and a law enforcement agency. You know, I'm not blaming them for it. It's not their fault. They didn't set it up. Congress did, but it's not a good idea. They shouldn't be set up that way. But getting back to those comments, there are people who are regulated by the ATF, such as federal firearms licensees, like gun stores, and they are subject to audits and inspections and things like that as part of the ATF's administrative function. But there are, like I said, they're also a law enforcement agency. If you're not regulated by the ATF in some capacity and you're just a law-abiding citizen who owns firearms, if they're contacting you, they're doing it as a law enforcement agency. It's no different from the FBI or the local police department. They have no right to come to your house and demand to inspect anything. They must have a search warrant if they want to come in and search your house or your personal property against your wishes. And, I'm not giving particular legal advice to people on the Internet, but, they probably should think about things like that before they'd invite law enforcement agents to come into their house and search or inspect anything.
Now, you bring up a great point that a lot of people probably don't realize about the ATF, and I don't really think about it in these terms either, but you have opened my eyes to that. Let's put this on a local level for everybody, a regulatory and a law enforcement agency. What you're saying is that would be akin to your local police department, wherever anybody is in the United States, also having the ability to write law or almost like being the city council itself.
Sure,
for that local municipality. Yeah, that's a dangerous situation, isn't it?
The ATF promulgates regulations all the time. They have an extensive code of regulations that they've written that are part of the Code of Federal Regulations, and then they're also turning around and enforcing those same laws. It would be similar on the local level to the police, for example, deciding what constitutes cocaine, you know, if they're doing a drug bust. Do you want the local police defining what a particular drug is, defining when it's okay to possess it and when it's not, and then coming in and enforcing those same laws? That's not a good model of government, in my opinion.
No, it's not, and it's mind-boggling when you and you know, this all, Bill, you fell into this trap. You know, it's got to be incredibly frustrating for you to feel, when you're fighting your own government like this, who has given you an okay to go about and pursue your dreams.
Well, now, several things, Mark, I'd like to bring up, if I may.
Please.
That I believe it was supposed to be, I forget the name of the hearing that I was supposed to have, but by law, I was supposed to have a hearing. The courts have completely overlooked that the ATF refused to give me a hearing. The other thing they completely overlooked was that the ATF, whenever they promulgate a new ruling, they are supposed to have public hearings, comments on that, and they also did not do that. The only notification we got from the ATF was this letter that they sent to my corporation saying that we had to cease and desist. They ordered us to turn in all the springs from the stocks. We were able to, at first they wanted everything, but we had some attorneys that we had earlier on that got with the ATF, and they worked out an agreement where the ATF just seized the springs. So not only did they shut me down in violation of federal law, Section 922 of the National Firearms Act, of one shot per single function of the trigger, but they also illegally seized the springs from my corporation. I had to personally send in springs that were in my personal stocks, and we had to send in all the springs that were in our inventory, and then they forced us to contact our customers. And another thing they did is they forced us to give them our customer list. Now this is
I was just going to interrupt you there and say, let's go ahead and really get everybody's ire and mention the fact that they asked for your customer list, people who have done nothing wrong but buy a product from you that you sold legally with their approval.
Absolutely. I did not want to do it. My partner had the customer list, and he did it over my objections. He turned it into the ATF. I did not feel that we legally had to do that because we were not, at the time we were selling that stock, we were not selling a firearm. We were under no legal duty to have to keep a customer list, much less give one to the ATF.
And you just hit something very, very important. We want to make it very clear to the listeners that you are not selling a firearm.
Right.
This is not a firearm. This is a device.
It's a stock.
It's a stock, okay? And that's very important. It is not a gun, everybody. It's a stock. It's a device that Bill invented. Bill, we've got about a minute left.
Uh-huh.
Gene, I think. About 1 minute left. How are you handling this? How's everything going with you since all this has been going on? I mean, I know you and John are working your way through the courts now, and we wish you the best of luck. It's very difficult to fight the federal government and Big Brother, unless you're getting stimulus money and he wants to be your CEO.
Right. Well, the problem is,
have you asked him to be the CEO? He may want to take that position.
Well, the problem is that the acting director of the ATF at that time, which was Michael J. Sullivan, he was a Bush appointee. However, he was a Massachusetts prosecutor, friend of Ted Kennedy, and Ted Kennedy...
Bill, you're going to kill me. I'm going to have to cut you off, my friend. It happens every week. I guarantee you we'll bring you back on. But everybody, we've come to another close of Armed American Radio. I want to thank everybody around the country for listening, for the emails and the phone calls that came in today. To our caller to our email from Canada, check out CanadaFreePress.com, CanadaFreePress.com. It's great stuff. Visit us on ArmedAmericanRadio.org, ArmedAmericanRadio.org. The U.S. Concealed Carry Association. You can visit us at www.usconcealedcarry.com. Check my blog out at theamericangunfighter.com. And joining me next week will be the godfather of modern concealed carry methods and techniques, Mr. Masad Ayoub, Ms. Gail Pepin, one of the finest shooters in the country, and Ms. Kathy Jackson. They make their second appearance. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio with your host, Mark Walters. Brought to you every Sunday evening by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Hear us next Sunday at 8 p.m. right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And to learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
920 AM.
WGKS.